Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And then to Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that as we continue to look at the Sabbath day, we pray that it would be unto the glory of Jesus, that it would not be out of legalism, but out of love for Christ, that we walk with a high regard for the Sabbath, seeking to do on that day that which is pleasing in your sight. Amen. The text, the catechism portion that we're looking at, is question 119. What are the sins forbidden in the fourth commandment? The sins forbidden in the fourth commandment are all omissions of the duties required, all careless, negligent, and unprofitable performing of them, and being weary of them, all profaning the day by idleness and doing that which is in itself sinful, and by all needless works, words, and thoughts about our worldly employments and recreations. So let's think back as to where we've been as we've talked about the Sabbath. We began with talking about the foundation of the Sabbath, and we talked about how when Christians talk about the Sabbath, often people will hear that strangely because we don't think about the Sabbath being so much a New Testament ordinance. But when we look at Exodus 20, what Moses does, and we know God wrote the Ten Commandments, right, and hands them to Moses. So what God does through Moses to Moses is he underscores the reason why we keep Sabbath, not because it is a Mosaic ordinance, but because it is a creation ordinance. So God does not say, here at the time of Moses, I'm going to give Moses the law, and there's going to be a new law in town, and that new law in town is called Sabbath keeping. What God does is he says, there is a law that has been established since the creation, and we're underscoring that law in the Ten Commandments. Remember, we talk about the Ten Commandments as God's moral law. These are not things that are given specifically at the time of Moses. These are things that were written on the hearts of Adam and Eve, all ten. These were things that were the foundational principles of what morality was going to look like in a culture that did not sin. So before there was sin, there was Sabbath keeping. It was part of God's intentions all along. And then from there we went on to talk about whether Sabbath keeping was a New Testament ordinance. Is Sabbath keeping something that is done away with when we come into the New Testament? And the answer we found is no. The book of Hebrews says that because of this redemption that has been given, therefore there remains a Sabbath rest unto the people of God. That Sabbath keeping is something that is part of the new economy, the new covenant. And the reason it's part of the new covenant is because it wasn't something specifically for the old covenant. It was something that belonged to creation. So it was something that would continue into the New Testament age. And then we also talked about the changing of the day. And remember, we said that in the Old Testament, the word Sabbath is not like our day Saturday, it's rest. But this day that we call Saturday had taken the name Sabbath because on that day is when rest occurred. And then remember, I gave props to the Spanish language and said that in Spanish, Sunday is the Lord's Day, and how that's right, how that is what happened at the resurrection of Christ, is that Jesus changed the pattern for Sabbath keeping in the church. And it went from seventh day Sabbath keeping on every Saturday, looking ahead to redemption, to first day of the week Sabbath keeping, looking back on redemption. And people say, well, you know, that sounds neat theologically, but is that actually biblical? And we went through the end of the Gospel of John and the beginning of the book of Acts and then into Revelation and showed how Jesus himself is the one that sets up this new pattern. It wasn't, you know, the first century church saying, well, what do we do now? Should we try to put new theology into the Sabbath? Jesus saying, I'm calling you to do this on the first day of the week. First day of the week, first day of the week, first day of the week. And the term on the eighth day was the common word that was used for it. And then from there, we talked about what we are to do on the Sabbath, what we called the positive commands. And we looked at all of these things we are to fill our day with as we keep the Sabbath and what that looks like. We talked about public worship and how God has set up in the pattern of church history from the very early pages of Scripture, all through church history, this pattern of worshiping in the morning and then worshiping again later in the day, and how this two worship service is not something that just like the big extremists put on the church, but it's something that was established very early on in the pages of Scripture. And then we talked about private worship, and we talked about fellowship, and we talked about mercy, and all of these great things that we are to fill our Sabbath day with. And then we come to question 119. What are the sins forbidden? What are we not supposed to do on the Sabbath? Remember that before this sermon, there were three other sermons that dealt with the Sabbath. Often when people think about Sabbath keeping, or those that want the church to be a Sabbath keeping church, this is all they think of, is negative commands. Okay, Pastor, so what are you saying I'm not allowed to do? Let's cut to the chase. Give me your legalistic laws. Give me the list of don'ts so I can get on with my day. Remember, we've had a whole building of the theology of the Sabbath, and this is a mere appendix to the principles taught. So the first thing, according to our catechism, omission of duties required. 2 weeks ago we talked about the positive command, how we work 6 days and then we rest on the seventh day, and we are to labor diligently during 6 days, and on the seventh day we're to worship, rest, show mercy and have fellowship and look forward to our eternal Sabbath. So breaking the Sabbath includes any neglect of these duties. All right, here's a preview. I write for a blog called Gentle Reformation, and I'm writing a blog post called How to Be a Sabbath Keeper on Tuesday. Okay? And on Tuesday, we keep the Sabbath by working diligently. The negative command is, if we are not doing what we're commanded to do, we've broken the Sabbath. That means that if you spend your whole day on Tuesday idle, doing nothing, watching television all day, most likely you have broken the Sabbath. And here on the Lord's Day, we spend our day in worship, in fellowship, in works of necessity and mercy. So I encourage each of you to consider the doctrinal positions that we've gone through to get up to this point on the fourth commandment, and then prayerfully align your life to that. You know, we talk about the Protestant work ethic, and people know that phrase, Protestant work ethic. Part of the main drive behind the so-called Protestant work ethic is Sabbath keeping. It's hard, diligent work, doing what God has called us to do. That word vocation is a popular word amongst the Reformed. Vocation, doing what we have been called to do, and then resting on the seventh day. Both parts as part of Sabbath keeping. You see, God's law is not intended to be bondage for us as believers. God's law is intended to be lived out in thankfulness and in gratitude for what Jesus has accomplished in our lives. And that's done Monday through Saturday in labor that God has called us to. And it's done on the Lord's Day in worship that God has called us to. Worship with as much diligence as we are to put into our work in the first 6 days. So when we are doing what we should be doing on the Sabbath, you know, there's really not a whole lot of time to consider what we shouldn't be doing. You know, how many of you leave here at the end of the day and, you know, you get home and it's in the evening and you've had a full day already, haven't you? You've had a day of worship and of fellowship and spiritual discussions, and sometimes people break off and they pray together or Bible studies happen. And these are good things. When we are doing what we are supposed to be doing on the Sabbath, we often do not have time to do what we're not supposed to be doing on the Sabbath. We are called to labor spiritually on the Sabbath day. And why would you want to omit that? Why would you want to lose out on that joyful blessing of fellowship with both Christ and His people? I mean, don't you all at times, as you're working in the world, just get tired of the people that you're around? Tired of the conversations that are either about nothing or are about worldly things or are about pure filth? And you have an opportunity to spend a day before God and before Christ in worship, and a day where hopefully the conversations here and with the people that you worship with, hopefully it's a much more edifying experience than what you have during the week. You see, when we are Christians who are living unto the glory of Christ, our duties are not seen merely as duties, but our duties are seen as great privileges that belong to the sons and daughters of God. I often refer to I think it was Life magazine that had the image of JFK Jr. under the desk of JFK. And you could put that image in your mind. You get this image of JFK sitting at the presidential desk and a little kid under his desk smiling away. What right does he have to be there? It's because he's a son. He's the son of the president. And on the Lord's Day, a day that is given generally to all creation, as we said, not a day, not a law that specifically belongs to the church. The Sabbath belongs to all people of all ages. But we have a special privilege of coming before God in worship and in prayer and being in fellowship with a peculiar people that He has called out. And we need to see it, even with these negative duties, we need to see that as a great blessing. Because when we are here on the Lord's Day, and when we go home and we spend time doing spiritual things, and when we have Bible studies, and when we're merciful, and when we do all of these things, filling our Sabbath with these good things, we do it because we have been called by this King to come into His presence on this day. And it is a great privilege and honor. But some, as the Catechism warns us, and as Exodus 20 underscores in this strange repetition, God doesn't just say, don't do work. He's like, don't do work. And by you not doing work, I mean, don't delegate it. And by don't delegate it, I mean, don't make your son do it. And by not making your son do it, I mean, don't make your daughter do it. And that also means your manservant. Don't have him do it. Don't have your maidservant do it either. And God is underscoring, because what we do is we say, where's the loophole? How can I get around this? And God underscores. He could have done that with, like, stealing. Don't steal. And by don't steal, I mean don't steal from your neighbor. And by your neighbor, I also mean your wife. And by your neighbor, I also mean, and then gone through a list. But when we hear don't steal, we say, well, of course, don't steal. But God, in His wisdom, knowing what our hearts are capable of as we look for loopholes, underscores. Careless, negligent, unprofitable performance is what the Catechism talks about next. It's this no thank you attitude. See, when we're not diligent in our Lord's Day duties, we're sinning against the fourth commandment. See, there's a lot of wisdom in what the Catechism does. There's a whole ton of proof texts on Sabbath keeping throughout the Bible. And they specifically hone in on ones that speak to our hearts in real ways. Because our hearts and our minds as fallen men and women are very performance-oriented, aren't they? They're not very grace-oriented, but they're performance-oriented. And many people see functions on the Lord's Day as things that we just need to check off from our list. I have a list that I write usually Sunday nights or first thing Monday mornings, and it's everything that I know that I need to do for that week. And I just work through the list, checking stuff off. I'll even, you know, hear the sermon and I write what text I'm preaching on. Email so-and-so about this and that. Meeting with so-and-so at this time. And I just make a whole week list. But we're very much driven by these sort of lists, aren't we? And if you can get it checked off, you've done it. And we do that with the Sabbath as well. We say to ourselves, you know, if I can sit through a worship service and stay awake,
I've kept the Sabbath.
Or if I can sit through a worship service and convince the pastor that I'm awake, I've kept the Sabbath. And friends, it's just not true. That's a performance-oriented view of the Sabbath. It's not a view of the Sabbath that is filled with grace, where this is something that we are to embrace and to enjoy and to fill. The Lord's Day is active labor, not just passive idleness. Here's another question and answer from the larger catechism, and I think that this question and answer really, really drives home the sort of Sabbath keeping that we should have. And this is just one aspect of keeping Sabbath. This is hearing the word preached. It's question 160. What is required of those who hear the word preached? And the catechism says, and listen to how active this is, because often when we think it's time to sit down and listen to the sermon, we're passive in that. But listen to how active it's supposed to be. It is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the scriptures. Receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God. Meditate and confer, which means talk about it. Hide it in their hearts and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. See, that's a very active way to listen to a sermon. And if we think about the Sabbath in that whole way, you can see all the ways that we are to be active in Sabbath keeping. We're not to be careless or negligent or unprofitable, as the catechism says. It's not something where we just put ourselves in neutral. We don't check out on the Sabbath. We're not just here. We're called to spend a day before the King of Glory. And people are missing out on that when they are uncaring or negligent or spend the day unprofitably. The next section in the question and answer is being weary of the Sabbath day. It goes on to talk about weariness in either the duties of the Sabbath or weariness in the Sabbath itself. Amos 8 talks about this, that the people of God, they're crying out and they're saying, when is this new moon over? When's the Sabbath over? We've got things to sell. We've got money to make. And they see the Sabbath not as a day in which they are to be joyful before God and worshipful before God, but they see the Sabbath as something that interrupts their life. Friends, we know how we can have that attitude at times. And that attitude is offensive to God, as Amos 8 talks about. J.G. Voss said, this attitude of mind is wrong because it is the product of a selfish, worldly heart that finds no joy or satisfaction in the things of God. When we see the Sabbath as an interruption to my life, to what I want to do, we're showing we are unfit for eternity. We're showing that the Sabbath, that which points ahead to eternity, we're saying, you know, God, that is a burden on me right now. And friends, we don't want to have that attitude. We don't want to be seen as people that say, God, I get it, and I'm looking forward to it, but I don't want it now. We should be people that desire fullness of Christ now. And I think that's worth meditating on. From that weariness, the Sabbath goes on to mention three ways that the Sabbath can be profaned. And each of these three ways are ways where the focus of the day is taken off of Jesus and it's put on self, either in occupation or in entertainment. The first is idleness that it mentions. Idleness is when we use the Sabbath day to do nothing. You know, I am going to sit on this couch and I am not showering and I am going to enjoy 24 hours of nothing. Okay, none of us do this because you're here. But we have the ability still to be idle on the Sabbath. Remember, we talked about how the Sabbath is something that is active. It's something that is spiritual work. And when we're idle, when we spend our Sabbath doing that, it's an offense against God. It's being not profitable. Now, some of you here are big fans of Disneyland. And when people go to Disneyland, they get up early so that they can get there as soon as possible so that they can spend the day with the most profitability. So they can enjoy all this time. You get to Disney, you have your rides that you want to ride, you have all these things that you plan on doing. And you're going to use that day profitably doing Disney things. Now, have you ever talked with someone about their Disney time and said, okay, what'd you do? Tell me everything you did. And they say, I just sat there. You know, I paid to get in, and I sat there. No. Nobody does that. When you talk to people that have been at Disney, they tell you how exhausted they are because they did so much, and they had so much fun doing it. Now, here we have the Lord's Day, and the Lord's Day should be filled with spiritual excitement. We should be excited to fill our day with spiritual things as a gift from God, as something that He has given to us, and we are to use that profitably. Now, does that mean you can't take a nap or a walk around the neighborhood? Well, of course you can, if it is used to make you more profitable. You know, it's like lunch. Why do you have lunch? Well, so you have energy to do what you're supposed to do on the Sabbath. You know, God doesn't say, and don't even eat on that day. We do the things necessary to have the most profitable day. That's why when I get up on the Lord's Day, I shower and I try to wake up, and then I fill myself full of caffeine, and I do that so that I am the most profitable on that day. And if you need to take a nap so that you can rise up and be profitable again, then take a nap. If walking around the neighborhood is going to help you to be profitable again, then walk around the neighborhood so that you can get back to your duties of the Lord's Day. And then it goes on to talk about sinful behaviors and needless behaviors. Now listen to this line from the Catechism. And doing that which is in itself sinful, and by all needless works, words, and thoughts about our worldly employments and recreations. So we are on the Lord's Day to not do things that are sin every other day of the week. And that seems obvious, right? Like the Lord's Day is a liberty to sin. But it also goes on to talk about needless works, words, and thoughts about employment and recreation. See, this is where preachers get in trouble with lines like this. Because what the catechism is doing is merely reflecting what we read in Isaiah. It's, if you delight in the Sabbath by not doing your own thing, and not thinking your own thoughts, and not saying your own words, then you will delight in the Lord. And that is what the catechism is reflecting. So you have to ask yourself, do I really need to work on the Sabbath day? Do I really need to be on that team that only plays on Sunday? Do I really need to watch NFL on Sunday? Do I really need to go out for dinner on Sunday? And the answer is no for most of those questions. Now, in positive commands, we talked about doctors and nurses, and there's a few occupations where it's lawful and good because it's works of mercy. But we do not need a 24/7, 365 day a year economy. We don't need it. And when we participate in things that the scriptures call unlawful, it means that we are sinning. We're not fully delighting in God. And remember how when we talked about the Sabbath as a creation ordinance, we said that the implication of that was that the Sabbath does not just belong to Christians. That the Sabbath is something that everybody's under, even if they don't acknowledge it. Now that is really important as we think about what we are to do or not do on the Sabbath. You know, there's parts of Orthodox communities, and you might get this out in the valley where there's a lot of Jewish communities, but other Jewish communities will have people that are Gentiles do work for them because they say, we're not breaking the Sabbath, they're doing the work, therefore we're still keeping the Sabbath. And they'll have them do all sorts of things, like there are Sabbath elevator operators, you know, because the Jews, Orthodox Jews, won't ride an elevator on Sunday or on Saturday, but they'll let a Gentile operate the elevator and then they'll do it. Or they won't turn on a stove on Saturday, but if a Gentile turns it on, they'll use it. And it's this mindset that not everyone is under the obligations of the Sabbath, but we see it as a creation ordinance showing that we are all under that ordinance. Everyone is under the Sabbath principle. So when we do something like go out for dinner on Sunday and there's a waitress there that has worked all day, you're hindering her ability to be in worship. You're hindering her ability to be under the preaching of the word. You're hindering her ability to keep the Sabbath herself. And the text that we read from Exodus 20 says that our manservants and our maidservants are not to be working. So when we do things like that, when we go out for dinner and just, you know, have a sandwich on the Lord's Day, what we are doing is we are doing exactly what the scriptures tell us not to do. Because it says not to have our manservants and our maidservants working. And we participate in that. And friends, as we think about the Sabbath, we need to think about it in light of Isaiah 58. We need to fill our minds with this idea that we are to delight in the Sabbath. And when we think about our list of do's and don'ts, and we want to hear everybody's don't list, and I think there are things that are liberty with on that list, but I think there are some things that are very clear in the Scriptures. But when we make that list, and you make it for your family, I won't make it for you. But when you make that list, you need to keep Isaiah 58 in mind. When God says to not think our own thoughts, and not do our own things, and not say our own words, but to call the Sabbath a delight, then you will delight in the Lord. So the negative list, I can't give you one. I can give you the principles. I can give you a few examples. But as far as all of the nuances of what we're not allowed to do on Sunday, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to come up with that list. But as you do it, the principle of what will bring the most glory to God needs to be primary. What is biblical Sabbath keeping and what does it look like? How can I most enjoy the person and work of Jesus Christ? How can I most enjoy fellowship with the people of God? So as you're going through your list and you're thinking, should our family do this? Should our family not do that? Think about these things. Think about them. Isaiah 58 has a lot of insight for what it means to keep the Sabbath. And even our negative commands, our negative duties, things that we are to avoid, even those are to be read in the light of how can I best glorify God on this day that He has set apart. Friends, the Sabbath is given to us so that we can put all of life aside for a day. All of those struggles and trials, all of the difficulties at work, all of the homework at school. Children, I give you permission to not do homework on the Lord's Day. You have my permission. Because we are not to be living in that realm on the Lord's Day. We are to be looking forward to eternity. All of the busyness of what makes up 21st century life can be set aside so that we can rest, actively rest in Christ. Is that a bondage? No. It's not bondage at all. It's grace. It's mercy. When God says He does not want us doing certain things on His day, it's because He loves us. And because He knows us better than we know us. He knows our drives and our ambition and our desires. And He says, you want to perform the best? Then do some of this and don't do some of this. Friends, be zealous in Sabbath keeping. Be zealous defenders of the fourth commandment. It's part of God's moral law. It's not some legalistic thing that the Reformed Church imposed upon people. It's part of the creation ordinance. And according to Isaiah, it is a main key to spiritual health. A revival in Sabbath keeping would prove to be a revival in the church. As we look ahead to eternity, to that rest where we will be able to put off all of those things that frequently find us in bondage, and we'll be able to set aside our lives along with all of the saints of all ages, worshiping and enjoying God and enjoying full redemption, which is our eternal Sabbath. Amen. Lord, we do pray that you would cause us to search our hearts. There are times when we zealously go beyond what the scriptures require. And there are times when we live in more liberty than the scriptures allow. And Father, search our hearts and see if it is that we desire to live joyfully in the grace of Jesus. And Lord, teach us. Teach us what it means to keep Sabbath. Teach us what it means to spend 24 hours set apart for your service and your worship and your glory. Lord, we look forward to our eternal Sabbath, where we will have rest for our weary souls. Amen.